I want to preach on abundantly pardoned. Abundantly pardoned. I think that sometimes when we, or maybe I look out from the pulpit, look at it from different eyes, and some of these men of God here may see it the same way I do. Sometimes we get caught up in the Bible words, and we don't associate them to the words that we know and how they affect us personally, normally. When we use the word pardon, sometimes we always just keep it close to Christ, but that word pardon is a word that we use throughout our everyday life. And maybe you don't come in contact with it too much, but it's a word, it's a part of our life. And with this being said, I want to preach just about being abundantly pardoned. I'm going to invite you to keep your Bible open to the whole chapter of Isaiah 55. Unless the Lord moves on me, we won't flip nowhere else. So if you, we ask you to, if you'd stand to your feet, the reading of God's Word, to reverence it. You can, if you can't stand, sit and reverence it. But we want to stand. We want to recognize again back in when them captives come out of Babylon, had that pulpit made of wood. Had that pulpit. Not a podium, but a pulpit made of wood. And they read the Word of God, and they read it for a long, long time. And they stood. The men, the women, and the children, and reverence that word. Isaiah 55, and I'm going to read verse number 6 and verse number 7. Bible says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, Father, we come to you this morning in such a thanksgiving heart. Lord Father, a heart that has been humbled, Lord Father, to say thank you, Lord Father, for this church is an understatement for me and my family, Lord. We appreciate some here, Lord Father. They're much more than just church people that we go to church with, Lord, their family. And Lord, some are more than others. And we thank you for them. But Lord, now we got to stand in this pulpit, your pulpit, Lord Father, your church, and preach to your people. Lord, we ask you for fresh oil. Lord, we ask you, Lord Father, to preach us. And I say this at times, Lord Father, unlike you ever have preached this before, but Lord, I really mean it today more now than ever. Lord, I believe times at a hand, Lord, it's fastly slipping away. We need to redeem this time, Lord, that now faith, now mercy, now grace. Today, Lord Father, is all we have. Lord, I pray today, Lord Father, for this word, this message. I pray for my heart. I pray for my tongue to be loose. And I pray I not get in my flesh. I pray not get in my carnal mind, Lord Father. Help me to preach the things I ought to preach and keep me from preaching the things I ought not to preach. But Lord, also for the attention, Lord Father, for everyone in this congregation. Hopefully the cell phones are silenced. Hopefully the video games are turned off. Hopefully hearts are opened and turned on and ears are opened and turned on. But Lord, we may take heed. We may respond. Lord, Father, we allow this to move us and change us to be more what you want us to be. It's in your Son's sweet, precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. No doubt we have preached. No doubt it has been quoted. No doubt it has been spoke upon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. No doubt we've preached and quoted numerous things in this scripture. There's a lot of things that gets quoted and preached from this small Isaiah. This is the Lord speaking through his prophet to the children of Israel in their apostate state. They have apostatized themselves. They have slid away from the Lord. This is where you find full-blown backsliding, Brother James. It's when Israel had left the ways of the Lord. Not only had they left them then, but they had left them long before then. This is at the point to where God says it's over. You're going into captivity. May I point this out to everybody? Just because it happened in the Old Testament doesn't mean it happens in the New Testament. I will say this, even though we're sitting under a new covenant with a new mediator and a better promises and a better covenant, does not mean God would not deal with his people. I was reminded today, got that Bible app. And if you got a smartphone, what's that? Is it called Decarta? Is that what it's called? Decarta Bible app? The Bible app on the phone, we use it. Is it called that? I think it is. If not, I see Don shaking his head, but it gives you a Bible verse every morning. And this morning it reminded me in Hebrews about the chastening of the Lord, about how our fathers chastened us, disciplined us, and how the Lord will discipline us. May I say this, you cannot sin and get by with it. If you are one of God's children, if you are saved, if you are born again, if you can sin and get away with it, I'd go check out who you belong to. I'm reminded, the Bible says there's two types of fathers in this scripture that deals with spirituality in the Bible. First, we have the Heavenly Father, and then we have the father of lies, which is the devil. And Jesus spoke unto the Pharisees and scribes and said, he says, you are of your father, the devil. May I say this today, you're either under one's provision, under one's direction. And I know at times some people may think it's harsh, but it's true. Ain't got much time to sugarcoat, ain't got much time. The attention span sometimes doesn't last very long. I've heard one preacher say that the mind will only endure so long as the backside can stay in one spot and listen. But when I say this morning, it doesn't matter if you know who the preacher is, if you know who the youth pastor is, if you know who the deacon is, the Sunday school teacher is, but it does matter if you know who your Savior is. I like what Jeff said, and Jeff, I hope you don't mind me saying that. We should not have to pull a testimony out of nobody. Though we hope people are saved, you want to take their and just hope that it's that way, but that hope doesn't no longer hope. It's fulfilled when you hear the words of a saved person testify about how God saved their soul. And may I say this morning, we are seeing more and more people a day who have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power. Not only do they deny the power, it's they deny because they don't have the power thereof. But I want to say this in this scripture in Isaiah 55, we find where the Lord is trying to beckon unto Israel. He's trying to call out unto Israel. I find he's trying to invite Israel. He's trying to instruct Israel to get closer to him, to seek him. May I say this, where it says, seek him while he may be found, that means there'll be a time where you won't be able to find him. I'm reminded in the days of Noah while the long-suffering God was there and Noah was building the ark, that God's long-suffering was present. But may I say this, only 8 souls were saved during that time of God's long-suffering. And some people might say, preacher, is God long-suffering now? Look how long he's allowed time to go on. Look how long he's allowed time for people to have an opportunity to get close to him and seek him. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. I've heard folks say, well, preacher, I can go to the woods and I can speak to the Lord in the woods. And I always say, can you? And some folks say, well, preacher, I can stay at home and speak to the Lord at home. I'm asking, can you? Because I'm reminded when the writer of Hebrews said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some do, but as that day draw closer, we're to assemble ourselves much the more. May I say this, there's many voices in the world. There's many voices that are speaking. There's many things to be sought. But may I say this, in the world that says, go find the church of your choice. Go find the belief of your choice. My Bible tells me that Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. You can go anywhere you want to go. Thank God we still live in a free country as of 2018. Thank God we have a will that we can choose where we want to go and come. But I praise God the most that he presented his will to my heart and says, Jason, if you want this life, you can come. Now, may I say this, it ain't been easy living a Christian life. It ain't been easy living in this world. It ain't been easy living with myself. But I thank God he hasn't thrown me away. I thank God he hasn't tossed me in the trash heap of failure. I'm glad he hasn't got rid of me because of my sin. I'm glad he hasn't stomped me out because of my inconsistency. But our God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. He's calling America. He's calling South Lebanon. He's calling Mount Zion to repentance. He says in the very first verse, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Sounds a whole like Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 17. When the Bible says, the Spirit says come, the bride say come. And he that heareth, let him come. And he that has a thirst, come. And whosoever will, take of the water of life freely. I find in these scriptures, it's something that you can pay for. It's nothing that you can work for. It's the free gift of God. No, he says, you don't have to have money to buy. Thank God we don't have to have money to buy the promise of God, the provision of God, or the providence of God. Thank God it's been paid for, and it got paid for on Calvary. But he says, you can come to me and receive all these things, wine and milk. Some folks might say, preacher, what is that? Back in the Old Testament days, the wine and the milk was the fruit of the land, the fruit of the ground. We love to quote this scripture. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and repent and pray, and I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive them of their sins, and I will hear their land, and it shall be fruitful. That means it shall bear and produce the fruit. Milk comes from the cow. The wine comes from the fruit of the vine. He's not telling folks to get drunk. This is a spiritual application with a physical likeness. He's saying, come and get something that you can't buy and something you can't work for. And verse number 2, he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Bread is a necessity. Bread is a need. Bread is a must in life. And your labor, and you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. The Lord is speaking to Israel, saying, stop going after the things of the world and come unto me. As Jesus said, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden and labored, and I'll give you rest. Bless God this morning. I'm glad he's still stretching out the hand to let us know he still loves us. And what I have, you can't buy. Stop working for the things that won't satisfy your soul. Can I say, we got many of people, Brother Eddie, they're looking for things in the world. They're looking for things in the carnality of life. They think it's in a song. They think it's in a beat. They think it's in a way an outfit looks or things that way. May I say this? Satisfaction and peace in the soul is not with the things of the world, but it's with the things of God. So much have we seen in the days. We had said this here recently in the Bible study, that in the world we have anarchy. In the professing church, we've got apostasy. And in the real church, we're starting to have apathy show up. In the world, there's no rules. Everybody just do everything they want. It's like the days of the children of Israel. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. In the professing church, it doesn't matter if they stick close to God. Whatever is the flavor of a month. And I'm not saying this to be mean, but I'm saying this to be factual. When you go to church as it being something like it's a part of breakfast, it's like it's orange juice to go with the sausage and the biscuit. If church is all it is just a glass of orange juice or just a simple part of the day, friend, we've missed the whole meaning of church. We've missed the whole meaning of the message that comes from the pulpit. We've missed the meaning of a pastor. We've missed the meaning of a preacher. We've missed the meaning of a deacon and a Sunday school teacher. May I say that we are living the days of apathy in the real church, where the feeling in the heart to be moved for lost sinners dying and slumbering on the brink of woe, going into the depths of hell never to return out of, forever sealed and forever closed up. I saw where somebody had posted on Facebook that heaven's got borders and God's gates and the immigration policy's real strict, but hell has open borders. Think on that one for a little while. Bible says straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. But wide is the way and broad is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat. Oh, God, help us today, church. Folks are dying and going to hell, but we need to cling to God. He's saying, come unto me, seek me. Verses 4 and 5, he says, behold, I have given him for a witness, talking about David. Verse 3 says this, and this has got me. I've thought upon this for many a days. You may think I'm simple, but it got a hold of me. It says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear. That means focus your ear. Get it tuned in to the mouth and the words of God. But it hit me something simple. What's it mean to incline? It means to go up. So we shouldn't turn our ear to the things to the left or to the right, but turn our ear upward, turn it towards the Lord. What thus saith the Lord makes a big difference in the day's day and time as it did in days of old. I still think the preaching of God's word means so much importance in the life of anybody in this world. I like the signs, sing, pray, and preach. I mean, if that's ever you do in your life, you've got a pretty good basis covered. Singing and praying and preaching. That'll have an effect in the life, Brother James. That'll change families. That'll change kids. That'll change lost people. That'll change families. That'll change churches. Some people say, preacher, how is it that the Lord's blessed Mount Zion? What are you all doing? We're singing, we're praying, and we're preaching. We're singing, and we're praying, and we're preaching. Hey, are you perfect there? No. Are you all sinless there? No. We got some problems with some people. We got some problems in our own lives, our own homes. But bless God, it doesn't mean we don't do things because we're perfect. We do it because He's perfect. And bless His holy, righteous name. He's saying, come, seek me, and come to me. Turn your ear upward. Get it away from the music. Get it away from the noise of the world. Get it away from the TV shows of the world. You say, preacher, you're going to preach on the things of the world, TVs and radios. If it's pumping out something ungodly, turn your ear from it. Turn your ear from it. There's nobody who likes music more than I do. There's some music I think that does not bother me and does not have an effect upon me, but it might affect others. But I know the one kind of music that affects everybody. That's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I mean, everybody will tap their toe to "I'll Fly Away Someday." Hey, some glad morning when this life is o'er. You'll hear a toe tapping, you'll hear a beat of thumping, and people get excited. Incline our ear to things that are godly. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, I love this scripture quoted many a times. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And the 18th verse says, all things are of God. Hey, bless his holy and righteous name. If you're born again, turn your ear. If you're lost, turn your ear to the things of God. They'll change your life. He said, by the sure tender mercies of David. He promised David, and he kept his promise and covenant with David. I say, praise the Lord. Verse 5 says, behold, thou shalt call a nation which thou knowest not. If you want to fast forward to Ephesians chapter number 2, you'll find the fulfilling of verse 5. But he says in verse number 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while you may be found and call upon him while he's near. I'd hate to be in the mess today where I had been in a Baptist church where the Bible's being preached and the doctrine's being straight and the gospel's being light is being shined and the Holy Ghost of God is flowing, the love of God you can feel. It's better, Brother James, if the love of God is so thick you could cut it with a chainsaw. Somebody say amen right there. It shouldn't be tissue paper thick. It should be like oak tree thick. Somebody say amen. The love of God, the presence of God's love makes the difference in a person's life. And may I say this? Some folks say, well, preacher, what about that reprove and rebuke? That's still the love of God. Thank God he'll preach a message sometimes that tans my hide. Because not only does he tan my hide, Brother Josh, he'll take me right back up in his arms and love on me and say, it'll be a whole lot better. You know how to keep from getting your hide tan? Start doing what I say to do. And you can skip out on the hide being tan. But I'm glad the love of God is still true. We said last week that the world wants you to preach today that God is love, love, and love. And God is love. The Bible says he is. But the Revelator says that they were shouting throughout heaven that God is holy, holy, holy. And friend, he's not giving just a feel-good message. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, he's sounding out a warning saying, seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. He told in the book of Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with man. I see many of people, oftentimes, they think, well, God is just like an old grandpa. He's got this soft spot for me. He's got a soft spot for sinners. Friend, he's got a soft spot for the world. That's why he gave his only begotten son. But friend, he does not just only want you to come to him for he can forgive your sins, but he wants to give you a more abundant life. I thought about this. The Bible talks about, I'm going to skip those two verses, for he says in verse number 8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Can I say, thank God his thoughts ain't like my thoughts? Could you imagine? I mean, look, that's what we have in our world today, Brother Ronnie, is that people try to think God thinks like we do. God don't think like Jason Faulkner. Somebody say amen. I'm glad he don't think like you neither. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. His ways are high above man's ways. I thought about this. His ways are so high up. I've been in an airplane. I flew to California one time. And when we flew from Indianapolis or Columbus, I can't remember where we flew out of, and we flew to Dallas-Fort Worth is the airport we went to, we didn't fly too high. I could still see some things moving on the ground. But when I got to Dallas-Fort Worth, Brother Tony, we got above the clouds. I couldn't make out nothing. It looked like lines is all it was in patches of color. And I got to thinking, the Bible says as high as the heavens are above the earth is God's way. I thought, well, I'm above those. I'm out there with them clouds. I'm high above man. But when I got above the clouds, I was even higher above man. But there's something higher than the clouds. There's something higher than me. And his name's Lord Jehovah. Thank God he's high and mighty. Thank God he's lifted up. Thank God he's all powerful. Why, preacher? Why do you thank him so much? Because that's my God. And he says he stands in the gap for me. What a wonderful God. He says, my ways are not your ways. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts not yours. He says, for as the rain cometh down the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Notice he's using an example of rain and snow providing the things that come from the earth again. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. You know, God puts more emphasis on his word than he does his name. You know, his word is higher than his name. He said, my word, thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But he said, my word shall not pass away. Just because they've cut it up in the Old Testament with a penknife and cast it into the fire doesn't mean they've done away with the Word of God. And just because they print book after book after book, Brother Miller, saying that it's a Bible doesn't mean it is the Bible. But praise God, we still have an infallible Word. But his Word is so true. I hear people all the time say, well, I like them preachers that tell funny stories and tell funny jokes. No one likes a joke better than I do. No one likes a funny story than I do. But preaching funny stories and jokes don't get people saved. I know some people says, I like hearing them allegories. I like hearing them fables being preached. But my Bible tells me you stay away from them men that preach them fables. The Word of God has worked for so long, and for so long it has made a difference. And the one thing that they say they can't get rid of is the one thing they love to get rid of is the church. Well, you can't get rid of the church as long as the Word of God is here. And when the Word of God is no longer here, friend, the church ain't here. And then if the church ain't here, you all's in trouble. So many times people say, preacher, I don't believe it. But he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Note that. His word goes out and accomplishes what he please. That means when the preaching starts, the Lord's pleased with it. He says, I'll send my word out. It'll accomplish what I please. That means he's sending it out for what he wants done. Y'all hearing the preacher say amen? He says it'll serve the purpose, it'll please from which I sent, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So not only does it please the Lord, it'll accomplish what he pleaseth, but it also shall prosper in what he sent it for. Now y'all may think this is crazy, but I find messages in the Bible that weren't positive messages. I've heard messages in the Bible, Brother Ronnie, where a preacher preached the end of people's lives. And people don't like that kind of preaching. Brother Josh says people like to look at it this way. We don't believe in that hellfire brimstone way. We just do it a little different. Y'all still stuck in that old time hellfire brimstone thing. Can I say this? The Word of God has not changed. And since it has not changed, his messages doesn't change. If you believe in a heaven, you better start believing in a hell. And just because we believe folks go to heaven doesn't mean folks don't go to hell. And Brother James, we got a whole country today where there's more and more people think that everybody's going to heaven and nobody's going to hell. We've got Baptist churches now that will no longer preach on hell and say it's not a doctrine of the Bible. But friend, this Bible speaks of hell. This Bible speaks of heaven. It speaks of a Savior and it speaks of Satan. And may I say this, too many people don't realize it, but by the time they know it, it's too late. They lift their eyes up in hell like the rich man did. And may I say this, the Bible says that it shall please and it shall prosper the way he sent it. And some folks may not like it, but I like it when that Word of God goes out and it gets into my heart, gets into my life, and it changes me. I sat there and had to ask, and I broke down listening to a preacher preaching on prayer this morning. I mean, I do that on Sunday mornings just to get fired up for church. I get ready for church. And some folks may think it's crazy, Brother James, but I got to do it. I got to listen to music, listen to preaching. I see them boxers getting all jazzed up and football players getting jazzed up. I don't know if hockey players get jazzed up, but I get jazzed up for church. It's my thing. I love it. I mean, I just love it. Put on a song that gets me going. I listen to some of that contemporary stuff too. Y'all don't want to think less of me. They've got that one new song out by Mercy Me about grace and you. So I get my toe. I mean, I want to walk out and punch Satan right in the mouth. He walked by, bam, I want to hit him. Why? I'm all jazzed up and ready to go. Because there's something on the inside. It changes me. And this Bible says he wants to serve the purpose my way he sent it. And friend, I want that Word of God to change and move me. He says in that last, now get this, in verse number 12 and verse number 13, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now I know y'all have been like, man, that's a bunch of gibberish for me. Could you imagine just walking outside, no matter how cloudy it is, you got the happiest smile upon your face? That when you see the wind blowing real hard and some folks are scared, and you're just like, hey, that's just the Holy Ghost of passing by. No matter what happens in life, you're settled, you're steadfast, you're strong in that in the Lord. It says this thing. It says, and the singing shall break forth, and trees in the field shall clap their hands. Noticing that everything, you can see the beauty of God. Notice in verse number 13, it says, instead of a thorn shall come up a fir tree. Somebody say, anybody been hit with a thorn before? Fir trees is what they use to build with. Can't build much with a thorn. Then instead of a briar, it shall come up a myrtle tree. And that shall be able, and it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not cut off. He said, preacher, you keep forgetting about abundantly pardoned. No, I ain't forgot about it yet. Everything surrounding his pardon. The myrtle tree is a famous tree over in the Palestine area. They said, used to on the Mount of Olives that was covered with them. And they said they're an evergreen, like an evergreen type. They're not a pine tree, but they got a green, a real nice dark green. They said that there's leaves on it all year round. But they said they've got a white bloom on it. It's so beautiful. It's a beautiful tree. It gets anywhere from 10 to 24 foot tall. And they said the fragrance that comes off that tree is just, it's breathtaking. It's a sweet smelling tree. Here the Bible, the Lord says he's referring to that fir tree and that myrtle tree, referring to it as the promises that it'll give to you. And some of the folks and the historians saying, Brother James, that in the Hebrews, in the Hebrew traditional traditions of belief, they said that myrtle tree was a sign of marriage. That myrtle tree was a sign of marriage. Y'all listen to the preacher? Bible says that God was married to Israel. Y'all hearing the preacher? He wrote him a bill of divorcement in Jeremiah, but he couldn't toss them away. Somebody say amen right there. Couldn't toss them away. That myrtle tree, you don't think that's crazy, but I can walk out sign. And I'm not saying you should trust in signs and wonders. I'm just glad, Brother Ed, I can walk outside and see the leaves are blowing, see the sky, see the clouds, see the sun, see the flowers, see the little kids running, see all that. And I can see God and all those things and say, thank God the things that you have made. Man has corrupted it, but oh, bless God, he can make a difference in it. Y'all still with the preacher? Y'all going to be really amazed. You're going to be really amazed. I'm about done. Abundantly pardoned. Abundantly pardoned. All these things come into effect. He's trying to get Israel to come back to him. He's trying to get Israel to come to him and say, you have wandered off. And you say, preacher, I haven't wandered off. I think in the United States of America we have. When we line up, now get this, y'all don't get mad at me now. I was kind of bothered out here yesterday. And I don't care if it makes any, I do care if it makes you mad, but this bothers me. When you dress up a vehicle talking about jackpot and playing poker, and we just had millions upon millions of people dumping money into a billion-dollar lot of, was it Powerball, is that what it's called? Millions of people. They lined up for days to buy a Powerball ticket. Days to buy a Powerball ticket. One feller bought, they was told me, he bought $1,000 worth of Powerball tickets to increase his odds on winning. That's the country that we live in today. Still the greatest country, but with all the things that we have, there's things that creep in. But the folks don't realize that not only God was stretching out his hand to Israel, Brother Eddie, he's still reaching his hand out to the United States of America, and we've drifted off. We no longer see and realize the recognition. I mean, I'll go and I'll look and see. I was pulling out a UDF, and the tires was wet. And the road was wet, and I was trying to take off, and they had soap on the parking lot, and I gave it a little gas, and the tires squalled a little bit. I had a kid about this big start hollering at me about how I was driving. I want to jump out the car and whip that kid with a belt. So you don't disrespect your elder. Where's your dad? Where's his daddy at? I mean, that's the world we're living in. It's like it's all upside down and backwards. I got my junior high kid coming home telling me about kids walking through the junior high smoking weed. Now, this stuff ain't new. This stuff was going on back when we was in school, but it's like epidemic proportions. And it's not just people going out and having a good time. They've now turned their back on God so bad that now when they come to a place where there is God, when God's trying to holler and when God's trying to speak, when he's trying to cry aloud and spare not, people's looking at that person like there's something wrong with him. Now the person who's preaching the right, now the man of God, the church of God, the people of God, they're looked at as the enemy. May I say this? There's only one thing we can do, and that's cling to the Lord. May I say this? If you're saved today, you're supposed to be walking towards them that are without, redeeming the time, walking towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Why? Because you are supposed to be the light of the ever-loving gospel. We are supposed to be the light of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be ones pointing them towards the one. We're supposed to be ones saying, hey, put your ear the way my ear is and turn it up towards heaven. Why? Because he'll abundantly pardon. May I say this? We've reached the point in society, Brother James, where everybody says, well, you can't throw a stone. You can't throw a stone. You can't throw a stone. Friend, I can't throw a stone. But there's a Savior who will throw you in hell if you die in your sins. We see it all the time. People say, no big deal. But I'm watching more and more and more and more and more. Society as a whole is going down the tube of immorality, going down the tube, flushed down the toilet of sinfulness. May I say this? There's sin about every hand. I'm seeing more and more young people, more and more adults. And everybody wants to shake the finger at the adults or shake the finger at the younger generation. Friend, can I say this? We all need to take a little inventory on our own home and friend and realize this, that if somebody will stand up and proclaim and say, turn to the Lord and seek Him while He may be found and call upon Him while He's near, He'll abundantly pardon. He says that He will abundantly pardon. He says that He will forgive. May I say this? He talks about to the person in Isaiah 55. This is what He said. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. I've heard people say, preacher, who's the wicked person? Well, we all have our opinion, right? I mean, we all have a standard who's wicked, right? It's okay to say amen. Would you call a pedophile a wicked person? Better you go to work with James one day. James, could you show me some wicked people? Get a good definition of wicked, couldn't he? But can I say this? If we compare ourselves to the Savior, we're all wicked. Right? Ain't nothing good about this flesh. And the greatest New Testament preacher besides Christ and John the Baptist said there's not one good thing, speaking of his flesh, not one good thing in me. He says, let the wicked forsake his ways. Can I say this? We got more and more people clinging to their own ways in church. More and more people. Y'all hear the preacher? Y'all help me now. I feel like a stump trying to get a hold of that blade, and we're going to plow all around and get her out. May I say this? If God, we can't see it start in the world unless we get God's people to start acting the way they're supposed to act. And may I say this? The Bible says that he that nameth the name Lord is to depart from iniquity. That means if you say you're born again and saved, why are you still sinning like you did if you was lost? That even talks about people who got saved at a young age, and y'all can get mad if you want. But if you got saved at 10 and said, Lord, save me, but you lived like I did until I was 27, you lived that way, something wrong somewhere. Right? Not only does God have keeping power to keep some fool like me from going back to the hog pens of the world, but He's got saving power to keep some of these young people from getting in the hog pen. Somebody say amen. Is that right? Amen. Seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He's near. God help us if we can't find Him. God help us if we can't see Him. There's so many people now who can't find the Lord with a search warrant. They'll find preacher upon preacher. They're like Ahab in the days of old when he asked for those prophets to come out and prophesy. And there was 450 prophets that said, you're going to get victory in the war. You're going to get victory in the war. You're going to get victory in the war. Had one little Baptist preacher locked up in prison because he didn't say nothing good that he liked and didn't brag upon him, didn't pat him on the back. And may I say this? That's what this world's looking for. They're looking for somebody to pat him on the back and tell them that they're good. I told James, y'all help the preacher out right now. I said I was almost done, and God's going to prove me out to be a liar again. So y'all pray for me that I'll keep my mouth shut. I see these young people walking up. Y'all help pray for me. I see these people, these young kids walking up. They got the smartest mouth, the worst attitude, and it ain't like what I was. I was the same way. But Jeff, you know what my dad did to me? He jerked me by the forearm, jerked that belt off, and wore me plumb out. But I see these kids act like total heathens, and moms and dads are praising them publicly. I'm at a football game Saturday morning and the kids get into a fight on the field. That's typical, right? So they ejected two players from our team, wind up ejecting two players from the other team. But here's what's worse. Their football coach and our parents and their parents were acting like total heathens. So no wonder the kids are going to act like total heathens. And I ain't saying what Tammy said. That's one hug I ain't getting after church. You say, preacher, what are you getting on this for? I think it's time. We can't ask the world to seek God while He may be found if the church won't seek God while He may be found. Y'all hearing the preacher? The church has got to seek the Lord while He may be found. You can still have a building. You can have a secret society and get you a little fancy emblem. You can hang your sign of some big giant moose and put it out front. You can have yourself an organization. But to be the Lord's people, that's an organism. Right? And you say, preacher, that chaps me. Well, good. Because I know of a balm that can heal you out. And that balm's name is Jesus Christ. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. By my recollection, Isaiah said, we're all as an unclean thing. Our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. Y'all listen to the preacher real well. Listen real well. Who here thinks they're going to heaven because they're a good person? That's good. Because ain't no one good, no, not one. How you getting in, preacher? By the guy who paid for my ticket. Jesus Christ. Did he buy yours? The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And he said, he shall abundantly pardon him. Abundantly pardon him. Pardon means that you have been charged. And I looked up the definition, and I got like a whole lot of definitions, but I like this Blanchester Hebrew one. So if you pray for him, we'll give this Blanchester Hebrew definition. You've been charged for a crime. And so an arrest was made because there was enough evidence to arrest you. Now, after the arrest, Brother Miller, there's a court trial, and there's testimonies and evidence presented. And the evidence and the testimonies are proof enough to convict you of that crime, and you are pronounced what? Guilty. You could plead your innocence, but the evidence proves more that you're guilty. May I say this? You can say it was your mom and dad's fault. You can say it was Adam and Eve's fault. We can give a whole lot of excuses and point to somebody else. But when it comes down to it, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. Some folks say, well, preacher, I don't go out and drink and get drunk and act like some moron. But can I say this? The Bible says if you know to do good and do it not, to him it's sin. I know what that crowd does. Unfortunately, I can't get escape the memories of it. But can I say this? Don't no one think they're better than nobody else. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And where sin abounds, but grace much more abounds. So those people get grace too. But you need it also. The Bible says, when it talks about abundantly pardoned, when I thought about all those things, how you get to the point to where you're guilty, I've seen so many people, Brother James, they'll say, well, yeah, I've sinned, but I'm not guilty. I got this here. If it wasn't like this, I wouldn't be this way. But we're guilty, Brother James, as the day is long. To be pardoned means that somebody who has the ability, somebody who has the power, they're the person who can pardon you. And may I say this, when they pardon you, it's not because they believe you're not guilty. They just pardon you because they have the ability and the power. They have mercy upon you. They see you in a way, in a manner, Brother James, that they want to show love and extend mercy unto you. Remember, just mercy is not getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Y'all hearing the preacher? We don't deserve freedom. We don't deserve heaven. We all deserve hell. But thank God, God looked down upon us, and all of us being guilty, not only did he pardon us, but he abundantly pardoned us. See, you can get a pardon from prison and say James Powell is your CO. And they come to James and they say, James, pardon's come down for Noah Faulkner. And you walk out and you grab Brother Noah and you take Noah out to the gate and say, you're released, you've been pardoned. But you remember all the sick things he done. You remember all the things that he done. And let me not escape your mind. Well, you ain't the one who's got the ability to give the pardon. You ain't got the power to give the pardon. Can I say this? The preacher ain't got the power to give the pardon. May I say this? If you wronged me, if you sinned against me, or I against you, our flesh keeps that in our mind. Our flesh will keep that in our heart, and sometimes we can't forget, so we'll always hold it against them. But aren't you glad God doesn't look at it that way? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's got the power. He's got the ability. Not only does he pardon, but he abundantly pardons. That means just as you have never sinned, just as you have never made a mistake, just as you have never come short, he pardons you from your sin. That's called abundantly pardoned. Abundantly means excess to the full amount, above and beyond pardon. Every presidential cycle, they pardon people. A lot of people say they pardon their cronies and their people, the sacrificial lambs in the political world. But can I say, we had nothing to offer the Lord, but He abundantly pardoned me. Have you received that abundant pardon? Have you realized that you, can I say this, you'll never get a pardon until you realize you're guilty. You'll never get pardoned until you know you need pardon. May I say this, it's not a life sentence, it's an eternal sentence. You've sinned. You've come short. You've come against the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with living right. I heard a statement, and it stuck in my mind. Borders gives us freedom. Discipline gives us freedom. I just don't like all them rules. I don't like all them rules, all them regulations you got. Ain't no rules and regulations. If you have Christ in you, you're free. Made free. Don't get excited. Been made free. Set free means they can put you back in prison, but they made you free. That means that everything that was before is gone. Made you brand new. Everybody with the preacher? Have you been abundantly pardoned? Would you seek the Lord today? Would you call upon Him? Child of God, how long has it been since you've been on fire for Him? How long has it been since you've made Him your number one commitment? How long has it been since you've been committed to this relationship and fellowship between you and the Savior? Are you saved? Do you think your good works, your good old boy religion is going to get you into heaven? Because I thought the same thing. I thought a dip of Skoal, a Marlboro cigarette, and Hank Williams Jr. in a pickup truck, that was the best life. But I found that Skoal will rot your gums out and give you cancer. I found Marlboro's take your breath away. And I found out Hank Williams Jr. don't know who I am. And a pickup truck rusts and fall apart. They don't last 10 years like they should. Some of you country music singers, fellas, you know that. But the life, Brother Ronnie, is in Christ Jesus. I know we're young. I know we think we know what we need to know. But can I say this? My heart's burdened for a lot of you here today. The reason why I'm burdened for you is because you try to advertise that you have something, but your actions speak the opposite. The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And I'll say this, and if we can get the piano player, I just want a piano player. Sister April, you come. There's a whole lot more I want to preach, but I can't preach it. Somebody's been praying good. I thank you for that. We're living in the days of, as we said, of anarchy, apostasy, and apathy. I can't address the anarchy too much because I try not to get involved with the world, but I see it. Apostasy, if you can go back into the world and live like the world, behave like the world, you need to come to an altar and ask God if you're even saved. That's not me telling you if you're saved or not, because I can't give it out, but I highly recommend you get to an altar and ask God if you're saved. The apathy part is concerning to me. The lack of feeling. The lack of feeling the pain, feeling the sorrow, or feeling the happiness. As April begins to play real soft on something, there's one that loves you more than anybody else in this world, and he's here today. Have you ever felt the love of the Lord in your life? When there's no one around, it feels like the world's turned against you, but you don't quit, you don't give up, you don't surrender, because you know there's one on the inside that says, I'm never left and I've never forsaken. I wonder, you young people, they said suicide rates on the right is at a fever pitch and amongst young people. Can I say this? Friends going to forsake you. Schoolmates going to turn on you. People's going to badmouth you. Going to tell lies on you. Going to run you down the road. But can I say this? There's a Savior. There's a friend. Though you may be ridiculed. Though you may be made fun of. But can I say this? Dalton, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. when the so-called in crowd turns you out because you ain't a part of the in crowd. I'd rather be a part of his crowd than any other crowd. People turn into drugs and turn into alcohol, turning to the things of the world, trying to satisfy a longing and a desire on the inside. And the whole entire time, the preacher's going, seek the Lord while it may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Why? Because he knows. The church knows. You older crowd, why do you keep trying to find things on the internet and find some kind of self-help to make your life better when the Creator has everything that you need? You're trying to buy things with your money and labor, and it doesn't buy you bread. It doesn't leave you satisfied. He said, I can give you all the things that you need, and you'll be satisfied. We're all wicked. We're all unrighteous. But he's not. And people make this criteria I'm not going to be around that person because they're filthy. That person, but can I say this? Jesus knows our faults, knows our flaws, knows our wickedness, knows our sorriness, knows our laziness. And Brian, he still wants us to be with him. Amen. He still says, seek me out, call for me, I'll be there. But to get people to come, Paul, to get people to realize it, that's the plight. That's the hard part. It's plain as day to me. But can I say this, Greg? Even though it's plain as day, I wake up sometimes in the morning and say, God, what have I messed up? How have I messed up? He said, there's where you messed up at. He doesn't point me out to my sin. You know what he points me to, Roger? He said, you didn't seek me what I could be called upon. Early in the morning, just me and the Lord. And Jeff, I'll get up and get in my truck and go to work. And sometimes I'll forget to pray. I'll admit it. But to get you to realize it, to get you to see it, is what the Lord's trying to say. Israel couldn't see it. Israel didn't care. Jason, they said, no, we're fine. We're okay. Calm down, preacher. Why are you getting so excited? Why are you so animated? Because God was speaking through the preacher. Just the preacher, he wasn't nothing special. He was just the same, but he was getting the message first. And he was strapped with the yoke of telling to everybody else. And can I say this? The Lord's wanting to abundantly pardon you of your sin. There's people in this church right now. There's other churches. There's other people. There's folks in your family that will never let you live down the sorriness of your life. But thank God there's a Savior who says, I choose to remember your sins no more. That's the promise. That's the fir tree instead of the thorn and the briar. That's the myrtle tree that puts off that sweet fragrance and that white bloom that lets me know that I'm His and He's mine. And we're together forever. I wonder if you need him today. I wonder if you've been struggling in this last couple of days. If you've been struggling this last couple of weeks, last couple of months. Maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you just flat out turned your back and walked out on God. But can I say his hand stretched out still? You good for nothing, sorry person. Hey, I'm right there with you. Good for nothing, sorry is what my dad used to say. I'm right there, but can I say something? God still pardons. God still abundantly pardons. You need to come. This whole entire time, I know there's people being dealt with, and you're still in your pew. God's speaking to you. And you're afraid if you get up, what everybody else might think. And can I say this? I know exactly how you feel. But it's either you're going to let the devil in your flesh tell you to keep your seat, or you're going to listen to your heart and God saying, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. You know what? He'll abundantly pardon you. He will abundantly pardon you. You say, preacher, this is odd. This is weird. You know why this is different? Because the Lord's doing it. Can I say this? It doesn't matter what your name is, what your last name is. It doesn't matter how long your name's been on in the church roll. What matters is where you've been, and the Lord knows it. Lord knows your thoughts. He knows what you've been doing on your phone, on your computer, behind closed doors, in your room, while people's at work, others at schools. God knows everything about you. But he wants to abundantly pardon you. He wants to change you. He wants to have something better for you. He's got fir trees and myrtle trees. He's got a better life. He's got things that satisfies when the world don't satisfy and the friends don't satisfy. Friend, Jesus will satisfy you. Why would you stay? I thought about this, and I've told this story before. I got to tell it again. This woman, I've known her. I know her just the latter part of her life. Me and her brother was good friends. But she had turned against the Lord, brung up in a house, brung up in a Pentecostal home. Mom and dad loved the Lord. But she turned and decided she didn't believe in God, and so did the oldest brother. Problem was, is when she got by herself and didn't have no one to care for her, the older brother just locked her up in a room and says, just stay there. I'm paying the rent. Don't you do nothing. She had nobody. So Emma, what she did, she turned to the Lord, what she remembered. But every time she would try to call upon the Lord, that older brother would shut her down, shut her down, shut her down. There ain't no God. God ain't real. Unfortunately, he'll find out when he dies, he'll find out just how real God is. But I got a phone call from the younger brother and says, will you do me a favor? And I said, if I can, I'll do it. I was on my way home from Miami Valley Hospital. He said, will you talk to my sister? I go, where's she at? He goes, you got to call her. So I called her on the phone. And we began to talk. And we talked for that whole trip home. She couldn't see it. She couldn't see it. She couldn't see it. Jeff, she was trying to understand it up here. And I said, Lord, I'm done. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. I'm tapping out. Had no one else to call in. Lord said, just sing Amazing Grace. I'm like, on the phone? He said, yeah, just sing Amazing Grace on the phone. I remember that was her favorite song. I sung it at her mom and dad's funeral. So we sung Amazing Grace. Got that second verse. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Before I could get to the next verse, Sister Tina, there's crying on the phone. There's sobbing on the phone. I said, you all right? She just kept saying, I believe. I believe. I believe. She got saved. Can someone get saved over the phone? Not if I'm talking to them, but when God hooks up line to line, it's a direct line to get saved, right? Her brother got mad at her. Wouldn't let her go nowhere. She was confined to a wheelchair. She couldn't go nowhere, wouldn't take her nowhere. Just made sure she had food and kept her in her apartment. They said she died, and I got the phone call. They said she died. They said, but can we tell you something, preacher? And I said, what's that? They said, when they died, said her Bible was open on her nightstand. She had underlined and circled and highlighted things in her Bible. They said for some odd reason, she wrote on her calendar going home. And they didn't tell me what the date was. I'm not trying to sensationalize the story. Don't want to get no effect. Don't want to tug on no psychology. But can I say this? God abundantly pardons. No matter your situation, no matter your circumstance, God abundantly pardons. And what you need to do is stop thinking about, well, God this and God, hey, if you could get yourself cleaned up, there would be no reason for a God. There'd be no reason for a Savior. If you could pardon yourself, you would never be guilty of anything. But friends, you can't pardon yourself. You don't have the power. You don't have the ability. You can't forgive yourself. But there's a God who can. He said he'd abundantly pardon you. Forgive you. And he said, I'll cast your seas into the depths of the seas, never to be remembered again.